Hello. Y'all doing good? So I learned something this morning, which, you know, I didn't know. I've been married, it's going to be 20 years, and Jen said something this morning, and I just like, no idea. She said, it's raining, I have to carry my shoes in. It's like, what? She says, yeah. It's like, girl, I don't get it. She goes, they can't get wet. What kind of shoes are you getting? Gosh. Anyway, it really kind of messed me up. I was like, what are we doing here? Anyway. So no judgment. If you need to take your shoes off before you go outside, I guess my wife will be there with you. Okay. So this is fun. If you're new here, thank you. Thank you for choosing Grace. That's a really big deal. And I have to apologize. So this morning, in a sense, what I'm really doing is doing something a little unusual this morning is we're going to be talking about our values, and that's not something we typically will do, but I'm just going to be introducing them quickly. Lots of reasons, but in the future, we're going to take our values and we're going to be able to break them down and talk practically about each of them. We've kind of already started, three weeks now, give or take, relationships and results, right? We've been talking a lot about that, but introducing our values, and it's just going to be so helpful for us. One of the tricks that I use all the time is this idea of once your values are established, you can answer questions so much easier. I use it in the business world all the time. I don't know if you guys know, but as you go higher in a company, basically what happens is you become the person to answer all the questions, right? Whatever weird question there is, right? Questions just go up in an organization, whatever it is. And when I first got into the leadership gig, that was a real stressful thing for me. Like, I don't know. How do you answer this bizarre, we made a mistake, but how much it cost, and what's the right thing to do, and this person has a circumstance in their life. How much do we pay them? Do we support them? You know, all these different things. When you start dealing with people, this stuff comes up. And really what I learned is if you can establish your values, then it's easy to point to them and answer questions. And it's easier to focus and just things work. And then I had no idea going forward that focus is one of the really cool things that happens before you just really hit success. Is the more you can focus, the more you have a goal, the more that you can point to something, the better you do. So this is our mission statement. So this has basically been part of Grace off and on. We've changed a few words here and there, but all I did this morning was just lopped off our mission. So here it is, right? And you guys have heard different versions of this for a lot of years if you've been around here. So lead people to become followers of Jesus. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Like, as soon as you start following Jesus, I mean, doesn't everything change? It's pretty incredible. And then there on the bottom, what that says is, let's thrive. That's kind of a marketing thing that we're going to be using. We're starting the process of refreshing our website, so we're going to be using that. So that's the mission. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. That's what we want to do, is lead people to become followers of Jesus. Now, how in the world are we going to accomplish that, right? So that's where our values are really going to help us out. I'm going to be running through these fairly quickly this morning, and there are tons of supporting verses and concepts and things that we're going to be breaking down over the next few months, I believe. But just forgive me, I promise we use the Bible around here, but just for time's sake and trying to go through this quickly, we're just going to be highlighting them and going through them, okay? So, love. Love his people and his church. Man, I don't know any other group of people that does that as well as you guys. Like, you guys love so well. Over and over and over and over again. And it's pretty awesome how we love people. It's amazing to me over the years. Do we have a "we'll help you move at last minute" ministry around here? No. But do you know how many times we've done last minute move ministries? I would guess 50, 100 probably. Providing a meal, showing up to birthday parties, doing lawn care, helping people fix cars, roofing houses, handing somebody $100 when they need it because God spoke to you. And it's just not the past 25 years that Grace has been doing it. Some of these stories were last week, right? Like, it just happens in a thousand different ways all the time. And loving His church, society right now, even saying that is a tad bit controversial to say love His church, but man, the Bible's super clear about that, isn't it? Like, He cares about His church. So loving His people, loving His church. Culture. Lead our community with humility, honesty, and a servant's heart. I can't actually think of any other place I'm 100% comfortable where my kids can just be themselves than here. You know? Like, even in going to a restaurant right now, at times you're like, oh shoot, that guy has been drinking too much. We got to keep an eye on him. Or, uh-oh, we've got a screamer at T-ball practice today. Like, that dude is way too angry. Or, you know what I mean? Like, God's kingdom, God's culture, the way, the atmosphere, the things that are here is incredible, right? Like, it's probably the biggest thing we hear is when somebody visits our church, and it's hilarious, whether there's two people in the building or it's the largest service we ever had, if there's a visitor, they pretty well universally say the same thing. I just feel God's love. I sense His presence. Like, they care about me. I just feel better. The same problems they had 30 seconds before somehow are different 30 seconds into our property. Like, that's pretty cool. And so not only are we going to continue what we're doing, we're going to be super intentional about our culture. Community. Healthy relationships with trust and feedback. Being on a great community. So, to me, I think sports are right, but I think a lot about being a great team player is probably a cool description for community. It's attitude, it's sacrifice, it's looking out for each other, it's all those things, and we want to do that super intentionally. Healthy relationships, trust and feedback. Those are like terms that aren't common anymore, in a sense, right? I mean, there's almost, in our society, right, there's almost a built-in mistrust around organizations and leadership and community, which is pretty wild. Feedback, 100 years ago on the farm, you didn't have to worry about whether dad or grandpa was going to give feedback to their kids. You know, the stakes were way higher. If you get behind the bull, you're going to die if he kicks you. Don't fall into that mud pit by yourself on the tractor because no one's ever going to find you again. Yeah. Right? No. You got to keep the rows straight as you're plowing or we won't be able to harvest. And without harvest, we won't have any money or anything to eat. So feedback was this really short cycle, and they didn't worry too much about how you felt that day. Like, they weren't going to let mess you up. There's ways to do it, but also just as critical today, right? Anytime you're around a child, it's real obvious, right? Anytime you're around a child that doesn't have some sort of feedback in their life, it's like miserable being around them. Like, the only thing you've got going for you is at least you can outweigh them so they won't take you out. But they're going to destroy and scream and fits. And it's going to be a big deal going forward. And I really can't wait till we get to jump in and teach on some of these things. Results, right? This is one of the topics that we've been talking about a little bit, but system and processes that help us achieve tangible results. Does it matter, like, at the end of the day? It really does. You'll have to hear me on this. Do we care about the numbers? How many people are in the seats? How many? Well, yes, we actually do. Because God did. He was all about the numbers. In fact, the Bible was really clear about both numbers. He left the 99 to go after the one. He was taking care of both, right? He was shepherding the 99, and he also was going after the one. And that's going to be real important here is I just want to be brutally honest with Grace's results. Are there more people coming or aren't there? Are people's lives getting touched? Are people growing? We're going to be looking at all facets of that going forward because it matters. It really matters. So in processes, systems, I know those are kind of businessy things, but things that we want to do well, because we've always had a heart of excellence. We've always had, that's always been a big part of Grace. One thing we're going to be introducing, right, is hopefully with systems and processes, you can pull off excellence without the, like, stress and scrambling and, like, some of that stuff. And if you've ever, and most of you have helped serve in different ministries or different events that we've done over the years, and, you know, you have a ton of questions. Where do the forks go? Who's getting ice? Where do we set up the tables? What time are we starting? You know, like, just the practical side of that. We're just going to do that better to be just smooth and bring excellence, but also just help with those practical side of doing it. Belief. Faith-filled belief in God and his people. It's kind of crazy we have to say that in church, right? But I think we do. I think we have to say out loud and proud and teach our kids and everything else what faith-filled belief in God is and what that looks like in God's people. Believing's a big deal. And if you've ever been around somebody without belief, without faith in their lives, those are some of my friends, those are some of the most broken people I've ever been around. So again, lots of verses, lots of things around that, but I think that's going to be really neat to talk about going forward. Stewardship. Manage his resources, outrageous generosity. So this is kind of a funny thing about Grace. We're probably the most outrageous, generous organization I know of. We give away everything all the time. In fact, it wasn't just a few months ago, and I just watched it happen, and it was perfectly fine, but a lady walked in. She's not a member. She's never been here before. I watched her walk in the front door, and she left with every toilet paper roll we had in the women's bathroom. Like, I just watched her walk out, and, you know, a few other people were around when it happened, and everyone just nodded and smiled. It's like, we got to bless that lady. Thank God. She needed that way worse than we did. But that's not normal. And sometimes it even feels wrong almost to say this, but we're generous. And we need to be comfortable saying that because I want to teach my kids that word so they know what it looks like and they know how to say it and they know how to recognize it. It's a pretty awesome thing to have this building. We don't have charges for anything. Backroom usage. I mean, there's stuff here, I don't know, pretty often. And we don't even have something on paper. Like somebody asks us how much it is to rent this place. And we're like, rent? Well, we don't even know how to answer the question. Much less your guys' time, money, effort. So we're going to do both. We're going to continue to be outrageous in our generosity, and we're also going to steward his resources really well. Every penny that you guys give here at Grace, we're going to be looking at, scrutinizing it, looking for the best deals. Should we spend an ROI on those decisions, right? Like, this is going to continue to be a good place to invest in, but I just think, right, that principle is so true. It's true personally. It's also true organizationally, right? When you take care of what you got, God just keeps giving you more, right, which is a pretty neat thing. Okay, maybe the most crazy thing of all, fun. Laugh, love, and have fun. I'll just say it. If fun isn't a part of what we're doing, I'm not going to show up very often. Like, church, what we do as an organization, meetings, like, anything I'm going to spend a lot of time with, if it's not fun, I'm out. Like, I can survive a few times, but you guys bring the fun a lot, but we're also going to be doing it intentionally too, right? So if you're hanging out at a Grace event, if you're in a meeting, if even if we're solving hard problems, man, joy is going to be there too. Because goodness gracious, if there's a lot of places in life that joy's not a part of, and I just want to do that real strategically here. Share God's love, invite them to church. I know that's kind of a crazy thing too, but somewhere along the way, that hasn't always been true. Like, I have friends that I need to, that aren't part of Grace, that need to be part of Grace. I have family. And you know why they need to be a part of us? Because they're not in church. They don't have a relationship with God. And my heart breaks every time I'm around them. They have problems. They don't have answers. Right, they're going to the most crazy things that even 10 years ago seemed impossible. Like, you know, like a normal thing that happens today, and I've used this example the other night because it's just crazy to me, but do you know how many people, like, that's just their normal part of life now is like to go and get high to fall asleep? And that's a prescription from a doctor. Like, that's how we're combating chronic pain, and that's how we're, like, I'm depressed. Or do you know? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like marijuana, you can get a card, which doesn't take anything, and then you just go. And I'm actually good with the plants God made, but what's super sad to me is I have friends that are sad. They have no idea who Jesus is, and their life is at the point to where the only thing they can do to sleep at night is to smoke and get completely wasted every night to the point that they can fall asleep for 6 hours. You know? And that's their normal. And I serve a God who loves them more, you know, and that just kills me. Because I know who has the answer. And I know God can touch that wound or that trauma or whatever it is. Because that's not how God made them. That's just where they are. So, yeah, it matters. It matters to share God's love, and it matters to bring them here. If they live anywhere close by, because you guys are here. And it matters a lot. to get in that community? Praying. Relationship with God. I get it. I know this sounds kind of crazy for a church, even here at Grace. Praying? Like, we got to say that? Like, you're at church. Like, surely you knew that was part of the gig if you showed up, right? Well, the part that is a little bit funny about that is most people don't naturally lean towards the relationship part of prayer. Like, it's more a request, right? The closer you get to whatever problem you have, the more frequent your prayers go, right? The more desperate you get, that's when your prayers start. Which I get. I ate a banana about a month, maybe 2 months ago. It took me out. And I was praying a whole lot harder 6 hours in about not being able to stand. It was the most violent banana you have ever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny, but honestly, for a lot of people, until they experience something in their life that they feel like they have no control over, is when their prayer life goes up. And we have this really neat thing that we've learned around here, is this relationship with God. Okay, so focus, man, that is crazy. I haven't been able to mow my grass in like a month. This is not helping. Focus, all right? So Sunday service. Again, we're a church, and we're saying one of our focuses is Sunday service. I know that's weird, but here's the truth. You guys are incredibly gifted. Almost every person in this room that I know you could completely pray for the sick, give an encouraging word, have a prophetic word, mentor someone, give someone great advice, and have a powerful, powerful, powerful thing for them. Like, I know that. Like, I 100% know that. So, and I also know that over the years, almost everybody that's ever been a part of Grace, and most of you in this room, have had an incredible encounter with the Lord on a Sunday morning at some point, if you've been hanging around Grace for very long at all. What I want to do is, I just want to do that intentionally and do it in a way that's super, super powerful with the energy and the purpose that I think that it has had at different times in the past. I'm super pumped about us focusing on doing Sunday service well. And one of the changes that we're making, we'll see if we can pull it off this morning, is just the length of our service. We're trying to pull it down to about an hour to where we have enough time before and after service to connect with our community, to talk with people, and to just do all those things that you guys do so well naturally. So that's one of the changes you'll see. Okay, I will try to wrap this up quickly. Family night, brand new thing, doesn't exist yet. Hopefully, middle of next month, we're going to launch the first one. And I'll just hit this really quick. Here's the idea, is that I want to create a time during the week where an entire family could come to participate in, right? So right now, we're doing small groups, we're doing youth, we're doing Bible studies, we're doing probably, if we added it all up, we probably have 6 or 7 different groups meeting sporadically throughout the week based on needs, schedules, like all this stuff. Kind of what I feel like God has been talking to the pastors about, and us specifically, is focusing on this idea of, man, just picture with me on what it would look like to have a family night to where the kids are being taken care of, the youth group is meeting at the same time, and the adult small groups are going at the same time. So an entire family could come to an event once a week, and no matter the age group, they can connect with their community age appropriate and like hear and experience God in their community. That's at the most basic level the idea. Many of you guys aren't familiar with Prayground. That's a program that's been around probably close to 20 years, give or take. It's not Sunday school in a sense. It's for kids, and basically how it works, if you've never been a part of it, it's super, super neat. There's about 10 to 20 games that the kids alternate playing, and they play a quick little game, and then they pray. You think, and that's it? Oh yeah, that's it. It's incredibly powerful. So the kids will play like dodgeball for like 2 minutes, or like paper wad dodgeball. Like, you don't even know who's out. It doesn't even matter. But they just play a game 2 or 3 minutes, and then once the kids figure this out, it's absolutely impactful, and just, it'll blow you away. The kids learn to pray and pray for each other. So what happens is, after just a couple of weeks, the kids learn to almost start competing, bringing prayer requests, because God touches them. So I just saw God move, and I'll never forget the names of the families, right? As the Hernandez family was going through a divorce, and their little boy told his friends, 6-year-olds, that his heart was hurting that night. And all the kids got to surround him and pray him for a second. Or mom has cancer, or my dog died, or I had a nightmare last night, right? You know, kids like have all those same things that we have, like fears and problems and emotions. And when you give them an opportunity for them to say out loud, and it's safe to say that, and they're having a ton of fun, and then they get a chance to say, I have something to pray for, and then all the kids surround them and pray their little hearts out for 30 seconds. And then we start playing a game again. If you've never been a part of it, it's pretty incredible to see. We do a great job with Sunday school, right? We've got that going on right now where the kids are learning and growing, and we're teaching Bible, and all that education side is super important. But this is a chance that we get to work on the relationship side directly for, you know, an hour, which is a pretty neat deal. Youth, right, we're doing that right now, but I mean, just honestly, we want more help with youth. There are times how schedules are and that kind of thing. We just would love some more adults around our youth at times. And us having this family night on the same night is going to be a big deal for the youth. Plus, they get to be around a bunch of adults that love Jesus. And even if all we do is just smile and see them in passing before and after youth, that's going to influence them, which is a pretty encouraging. And then small groups, right? So being a small group leader is tough. And a lot of you in this room that have been small group leaders in the past, not many of you guys are like signing up to say, yep, let's do that again. Because hosting a small group in your house, having that amount of people, right? Like my small group right now, if we had everyone show up, it's, you know, about 30 adults. That's pretty overwhelming for most people to host in their home. So what I think we could do for a while, and it's a scaling problem at some level, but the thing that's going to be incredible is I just want my friends and the people out in the community to get to know you guys. And I think the easiest way to do that is to use our building that we have right now. And then our small groups break up, stay in the building, and make it super easy that we can invite our friends, invite them to small group, whether they have kids, babies, nursery, whatever they have, and that we're just going to take care of them. And I know I'm moving quickly through a lot of stuff today, but I just wanted to introduce this, all these ideas, right, that we're going to be going through our values. But the huge, huge point for today is really our focus, and our focus is going to be doing a great service, impactful for our community on Sunday mornings when we gather, and then doing these family nights so that we can connect with our community, we can connect with our youth, and our kids can learn and jump into relationship. And I am sure there are lots of questions and what ifs and all the details, right? So if you haven't been to our website in a little bit, the church calendar is actually filled out, and it has dates on it, and you can take a look and see how this will go. We're going to run in kind of a semester format, but also one of the things that are going to be just super important for like the next month and a half as we're learning and growing and thinking through all of these things, like just talk with us. The pastors are certainly available, but your ministry team leaders and any group that you're connected to is in the loop now, and we're just going to start talking about ideas and challenges and what we're going to do moving forward. But I'm excited. Like at the end of the day, I'm glad that this is the kind of place I need my friends to come, and that we're going to be making it a little bit easier to invite them in, right? So, man, come on Sunday morning, but if you're not quite ready for that, join us on Wednesday nights is the night I think we're going to pick for family night. And it's going to be awesome. That's a real chance for somebody to come in and us meet their needs and introduce them to a community and give them a place to grow. And I can't wait to get started, and I need each of you guys, I really do. Every single one of you is not just ready, beyond ready, to pass what God has given to y'all, right? Your wisdom, your mentorship, support, and sometimes support just means hugging on somebody that's going through something, right? Like, you guys do that so well. And if you guys will join me in this, because I believe there's a community out there. It feels like Cabot has a lot of churches, but I promise you there's a lot larger population right now that aren't in church. Like, you know, there's 100,000 people within not that far drive from this location that are not in a building, that don't have a relationship that they're actively thinking about. They have brokenness and health problems, and mental health problems, and broken children in relationships, and pain, and sadness, and all those things. And we have the answer, which is pretty cool. And I kind of want grace not to be the best kept secret in town. Like, I'm really wanting it to be the place that we can bring our part in the God's kingdom. And the other churches, they're doing a great job doing their parts. But I think the part that we get to bring is super important for us to bring it and us learning to say it's okay and inviting those people to come. So I know this was a little bit different than a traditional sermon, but I thought it was important for everyone to hear kind of where we're going as an organization and what our focus is going to be moving forward. Peter's back there. Peter, would you play? I wanted to say this too, because I think God can do this, because some of you guys I just know walked in not thinking this was what you're signing up for this morning, and God is big enough to touch you, whatever it is. So if you could stand up for me. And we're just going to pray together. And I think we're going to have a ministry time. We're going to have a ministry team. I don't know who it is today. Who is it? Oh, shoot. Yeah. What a great day to if you need prayer. Yeah, forgive me. I know this was different. But if you walked in today with like something you can't get out of your mind, right? Like a problem, a pain, a sadness, you know, just something, right, that it's been on your heart and mind most of the week. Like, even if I was talking and you're just like, you just couldn't get it out of your mind. Like, that's what God spoke to me this morning, that he's kind of big enough to do both. He's big enough to tell us something. We can talk about our organization a little bit this morning and touch people's needs. So I'm just going to pray real quick, okay? So, God, thank you for being you. You are so good. You are so caring. God, I just pray that you would touch those hearts and those minds in the places that need to be touched this morning, God. that you would cut through all the distractions that we bring to the table, and that you go straight through and meet people right where they are, God. Amen. So if you could be just brave, I really think that's true. You know, you've already done most of the work. You showed up. You're already in the building. I'd hate for you to go home if there really is something in your heart or mind that you just can't get out. Like, you're here. What's the worst that happens? Right? I mean, shoot, give it a try. I really would. I know it's hard sometimes, but give it a shot. God is crazy in love with you. He's crazy in love with you. So it'd be a good morning to meet him. Do you have, we're good? All right. Grace, thank you so much for giving me a shot, and you guys have a great Sunday.